So I did this to her last night. Let's see if she's ready this morning. There's a theme song I want you to hear from the TV show Cheers. Ready? Making the way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You remember that show, Cheers?
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun show, and it was on for a long time. And it was a show just sort of like Seinfeld and some others. It really wasn't about anything. Other than it was a bar, and it's sort of about the bartenders and the owners and about the people who came in, and it was convenient because every time you had the show, there could be someone new coming in because it's a place, and you kind of had your regulars, and there was romance and fighting and people not talking to each other, and you had people would pass away, people would go get married, get divorced, you had all these different things that happened, and it was endearing. And part of it, too, is because I think it draws us in, even in that theme song, a true sense of we want to go where everybody knows our name. We want to go where people are comfortable with us, where they know us, where they know us so well that not only do they know our name, but they might know lots of things about us. Today is a particular feast day. It's not only New Year's Day, but it also happens to be the Feast of the Holy Name. So it's the celebration of when Jesus officially receives his name. In his parents' culture, that meant that you got your name on the eighth day of your life, and if you were a male, you were circumcised, and you were given the name on that particular day. It's a tradition that's still practiced in lots of different parts of the Jewish faith. And so it's there, and it's a particularly meaningful day. Because to receive your name is to receive your personhood. It is to receive a sense in that particular culture of being accepted into the covenant people. And it's a tradition that goes way back. Now, if you go and you ask people sort of where their names come from, first name, last name, there's all kinds of different traditions throughout the world. If you have the name Johnson, it means somewhere along the way, someone was named John and they had a son, right? Johnson or Christensen, or all these different things. So there's one way that you kind of know that. If you go to the South, you know a lot of people that are named Jim Bob or Billy Bob. You ever notice that? When we moved to the South and lived in Arkansas, it's really true. We had several people. I had Joe Bob, Billy Bob, all kinds of people in the church were named that way. And I finally got up and got to say, what is this? Because it seems sort of strange as a nickname. I said, oh, no. The tradition is, you're named after your two grandfathers. And so you take on their first names, and then you're known by that for the rest of your life. So their official name might be, you know, Robert Joseph, but you know him as Bob Joe, or Joe Bob, or something like that, or Joseph Robert. And so then you go through that. In some cultures, actually your first name, or what we would call their first name, is actually your family name, and your individual name follows afterwards. There's all kinds of ways to sort of come up with that. And people often ask me where my name came from, Gar. And I tell them I'm a pirate. So you say my name, Gar, you know. But, you know, my mom knew somebody or something like that. But there's often stories about how we got our name. But then our name takes on a certain way of possessing us, doesn't it? You sort of become that person and you're known as that. And it's become such a critical thing that when you learn someone's name, it reaches a certain level of, you invite them into a circle. You invite them into something. Now, one of my children, who's sitting up here as an acolyte, often likes to get up early in the morning and say these particular words, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? I don't know who that might be. And we often will go to the same McDonald's, not too often, but sometimes because we like the breakfast burritos. And so, if we get up before school and we have time, we'll head off to do that. And for a long time, we've had the same person wait on us. And the same person would wait on us, and I sort of took the risk one time thinking, you know, I probably ought to know this person since I see them, you know, every once in a while, every other week, every week, maybe once. I ought to know this person's name. And so I decided one time to take a risk, and I said, hey, I see you all the time. Can you tell me your name? And he says, you know, it's Roberto. But what happened was how our interaction changed, because instantly he got a huge smile on his face, and then we began chatting. And now when I come through, we sort of have some inside jokes, and we've gotten to know each other over the time, and it sort of changed things by me saying, what's your name? And he asked me what my name was, and he kind of knows our order and, you know, knows what to do, and it's kind of an interesting thing. But what really happened was how much really he lit up to breach the intimacy of strangerhood into more familiar territory. I want you to think about that for a minute, about what it means when somebody knows your name. When somebody really gets to know you. How many of you have been somewhere where people don't know who you are, right? Have you ever felt unseen? Have you ever walked through and thought, nobody cares? This is a big thing for churches, by the way. Pastors are supposed to know everybody's name, right? And if you don't know someone's name after the second or third Sunday, you're really not good. But also, we're notorious in churches for not paying attention sometimes to people when they come and visit us, or not reaching out. Or it could be much the same way if you're a student in a teacher's classroom. Do you ever remember having a teacher that couldn't quite get your name together? Or maybe you work with someone and they don't work right in your department, or they work down the way, and you sort of know who they are because you see them, but they don't know your name. Or even worse yet, what about the neighbor that you've lived next to for 10 years? And you've never actually gotten to know their name. And if I had you raise your hands, you'd have to be honest. But when we know someone's name, doesn't the relationship change? And when someone knows our name, doesn't that change? So what do you think that's about? What is it to be known that makes us feel more a part of things? It's the Feast of the Holy Name, a time when we celebrate the name that's given to Jesus. And part of the story is that Mary is following what she's asked to do. You remember a few weeks ago we heard that the angels came and visited her and say that you'll name this child Jesus, and you'll call him Jesus, and he will be Emmanuel, he will be with the people. And she gives him that name. And the strange thing is that we still know that name to this day. Think about that for a minute. We still remember the name Jesus. It's such a critical name, and maybe when you think of who Jesus was, you have different images in your head. You might think of someone with long hair and a beard and blue eyes, or you might think of Jesus as having brown hair, or maybe it's having brown skin or brown eyes. Maybe you have a completely different image. But nevertheless, we know the name, and we know stories that might be attached to that name. And for some of us, it's quite a powerful name that brings a sense of salvation and belonging. We call ourselves Christians to be Christ-like. We call ourselves that, sometimes even calling ourselves followers of Jesus, to be disciples. We follow this particular person to be known. And I think underneath all that, it is imagining that God knows our name. It's thinking that God knows us by name. We even say that in several of the Psalms, where God calls us out even in the womb and knew us by name. It's a sense of having a familiarity with God that goes beyond just a strange God that's off in the distance behind the curtain, pulling all the strings of the universe, but one in which God is very present with us. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. Names are so important. How many of you have ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? It's quite a place, isn't it? It's a place that we hold as a sacred place in our nation, as a place of quiet observance that's guarded day in and day out, and it's meant to be there a symbol of something. What? that we don't know someone's name, and that it's so much so, becomes so powerful for us because of the sacrifice that they've given, that we hold it as a sacred place, as if we're waiting to know their name at some point. I can think of different times in my life when names became so important. I remember being with a family who had lost a child during pregnancy, and naming the child became absolutely critical for their grief. That's how important that becomes for us. So where do you go that everybody knows your name? Where do you go to that familiar place? I think if I were to take anything out of the scriptures for today, it is that we are known by God. And to me, that's something that becomes absolutely critical. But there's a challenge for us. I was given a gift in the way that my head works, my mind works, that I can remember people. Now, for the most part, once I've talked to you a couple of times, I can almost always remember your name. Not always, but almost always, 98% of the time. You're going to test me today, aren't you? People are taking their name tags off. We'll see. But not all people have that gift. And so one of the great things about my partnership with Kelly is we're pretty good at sort of checking in with each other when we're walking into a situation. Do you know this person? Do you know that person? And in some places, I don't remember people's names and things like that. But I find that because of that skill, it becomes such a critical thing. I want to challenge you to do something. And that is to find out somebody's name this week that you interact with on a regular basis that you didn't know their name. Maybe you go to Starbucks, maybe you go to the store, maybe it's the gas station, maybe it's the bank, maybe it's a coworker down the hall, maybe it's even somebody here at church today. But take the risk to go and introduce yourself and say, I see you all the time, I'd like to be able to call you by name. And see what happens. But then I want you to think of something a little bit different, because here's where I think this matters for us today as we hear it from the scriptures. It's about the incarnation. And that is when we look at another person and we see God in them as a reflection of God in ourselves. We are connecting with them as also a child of God. And to say their name is to acknowledge that. I think that changes things for us, doesn't it? When you begin to see the strangers in your life as children of God, it's a lot easier, it's a lot harder to not scapegoat them. It's a lot harder to be prejudiced. It's a lot harder to make assumptions about the people that you see, because when they're strangers, when they're they, it's easy to do that. We know the name of God. We know God so much in a familiar way. And I think we're called to know our neighbors. And in doing that, things change. I'm really glad I took the risk to ask Roberto his name. We can smile at each other, and we know each other a little differently. But I can also see him as a child of God, just as I am. And I can know that God knows his name as much as God knows my name. So where do you go where everybody knows your name? Amen.